we go by this clock when I start the gospel, that one when I finish. We'll sing number 29, and before we sing it, I will read a verse or just two in order to preface it, because these are the verses this hymn is based upon. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of John's gospel. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus. Verse 3. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. A ruler
once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master may answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again.
Must means absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. To be born again is to be born of God. Be born of the Spirit. Be born from above. Entirely new life. Let's pray. Our gracious, our loving God and Father, we give Thee thanks that we can be born again, and many here are. They have a life that's eternal, a life they're going to enjoy forever in glory. And we would have every sinner saved. How wonderful the gospel is. It goes out to every sinner, anywhere, anytime, any place in this world, and it can save them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what's going to be used tonight. The Word of God. And we give Thee thanks, we can look to Thee, that the Spirit will have liberty. So He will take the Word of God and convict anyone here still in peril, in their sins, of their condition, and bring them to Christ before it's forever too late. So we ask this, and give Thee thanks for the privilege of hearing the gospel again, in the precious, worthy name of the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and that'll be the basis tonight. So I may go around a little bit to sort of keep this in mind. We'll come back to 15 time and again. Verse 1, and straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. That council was the governing body of God's people, the Jews. And this consultation was held by the chief priests, the religious leaders, the scribes, and the whole council, the Sanhedrin. What is a consultation? Well, you know what it says in the dictionary. It's a conference of men to decide something. That's what it is. What was the subject of their conference? It was Jesus. That was the subject. Jesus. And what was the purpose? They were going to decide how to put him to death. That's this big religious body we're talking about here. You know, we're in a conference here. We've had a conference for 2 days. What was the subject? It is Jesus. That was our subject. Jesus. We've been exalting him. We've been growing in him. But tonight in the gospel, the purpose isn't so much that. It's to save a sinner. And only Jesus can save. That's what his name means. To save a sinner. You know, there's no other name so loved and so hated as Jesus. There's no name so exalted and so maligned as Jesus. And there's no name that's so controversial and so debased and so misused and so abused in this world as Jesus. Why is that? Romans 8, verse 7. Don't turn to it. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Jesus is God. He's the eternal Son of God. That's why this enmity. That's why this hatred against this blessed name. Mark 15, 1 again, at the end. And they bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. This is the prelude to the cross. This is it. The cross. That which marks the center of two eternities. That about which everything God's thoughts and purposes revolve. And this is the prelude to it. The cross of Calvary. They bound Jesus. And they carried him away. And they delivered him to Pilate. There had to be a trial. But the Jews had no power of the death penalty. And they would not be satisfied with life in prison for Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They were under Roman rule. And so they had to take him to the Roman judge. That's what we're talking about. They took him to Pilate. But it was a mock trial. If it was a true trial under Roman law, this injustice would have never been done. But it was a mock trial. Jesus had to be judged and found guilty under Roman law so he could be put to death. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 19. John chapter 19. And verse 9. And Pilate went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? What was the Lord's answer? What did Jesus say to this earthly judge, one of his creatures? He said, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. There is no power except from God in this world. Pilate, the Lord's puny, worldly judge, had the audacity to say, I have power to crucify you, to his creator. It's hard to believe, isn't it? What's in the heart of man is hard to believe. What's in your heart if you're still a sinner is hard to believe. God says your heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't let it go any further. Get saved. Get a new life. That'll all be behind you. But this shows you the heart of man. The heart of man was revealed in its fullness at the cross. That's where it was shone out, in its fullness. Let's go on here. Well, Jesus said, you have no power. You have no power. How could they crucify him? Satan's constant purpose against this blessed one, even when he was a babe, it started to destroy him. That's Satan's constant purpose when Jesus came into this world as the Savior of sinners. Matthew 2, verse 13. Joseph, the legal father of Jesus, was told in a dream by the Lord, take the child and flee to Egypt, for Herod the king is seeking to destroy him. That's Satan. The desire of Satan has always been that. What was the universal cry of the multitude at the cross? Away with him! Crucify him! And your heart's no different. Neither is mine apart from Christ. Carnal mind's enmity against God. That's the cry. And it's still so today. I ask, before we go any farther, whose side are you on, sinner? I know whose side the saints are on. But if you're still in their sins, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of Jesus or this world? That's it. Which is it? Your eternity depends on your answer. It depends on your answer. Receive Jesus Christ, and your eternity is in glory. Heaven, they call it. Wherever Jesus is heaven, but it's glory. And if you refuse to have him as Savior, you're with this world, it's condemned, and you're condemned, and woe, woe, woe unto you. Revelations. You're either saved or you're lost. That's that. That's why the gospel's being preached. There's only two groups in this world today. Those that believe, they're saved. Those that believe not, they're lost. That's all. Divides the whole world. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to do a little movement here. Matthew 26. I'll read first of all verse 47. No, I'll read at the middle of 47. A great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Verse 50 at the middle. Came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Verse 53. The Lord said, thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be so? 12 legions of angels? How many is that? Well, I believe the closest would be 72,000. 72,000. It only took one angel to defy the whole Roman army when that angel rolled away the stone at Jesus' tomb to let him see he wasn't there. And all the soldiers quaked at the sight of that angel. Jesus said, I could have 72,000 angels in a minute. But he didn't need the angels. He could have had the thought And this world would have disappeared and every creature in it. Let's go on. You know, over three years, the religious leaders thought to take Jesus and kill him. That was their whole purpose, to take him and kill him. But he always passed through their midst. Why? His time was not yet. That's why. His time was not yet. Turn to John 7. I want to show you a verse. John 7. Just a short verse, I think. Verse 6 of John 7. Then said Jesus unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Sinner, I'm going to tell you, this is what Jesus said, and this is what you need to know. Your time is always ready to be saved. That's it. To be saved. I can tell you this too. This is your time. Every time the gospel's preached, it's your time. I know you've had many of opportunities. God is faithful. I don't have to even ask about that. If you're still in your sins, I can tell you this. Your time is always ready. Always ready. 1 Timothy, don't turn to it, chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. God our Savior. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? God our Savior. You ever know Him that way, sinner? If you know Him that way, you'll love Him. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. There's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Due time. This is your due time. This is your due time. It may be your last one. The Lord may come before we reach the end of that clock time of an hour. You may not get home. You know, your next step is known by God, but not by you. Your next breath is in the hand of the Lord. He'll close it when He will. This is your time. That's the thing I want to get across. You know, there was a university student over in England, and he had a professor. One professor in that whole university who was a Christian. I mean a real Christian, not just by name. And those students loved him because he lived Christ. And they all knew they should be like him. But they didn't like to take Jesus now. They were young, like all of young people think, a lot of time ahead. But this one was exercised, and this young man met that professor Saturday morning on the street, and he stopped him. And he said, I've been meaning to ask you a question. What is it? How long dare I wait before I get saved? He said, well, I suggest you don't wait more than one split second before the day you die. I can't know that. Well, he said, now, then I suggest you get saved right away. That's the word to you, sinner. You better get saved right away. I mean, why would you wait? Why would you take a chance even of not making it out that door? Well, that's the thought. All right. Turn to Matthew 26 again. Back to Matthew 26. Okay. When the Pharisees sent the soldiers to take Jesus the first time, Jesus asked them, Whom seek thou? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. You know what he said? I am. That's his name. I am. You know what it means? Jehovah. Jehovah is Jesus. Jehovah means to exist. The ever-existing one. Never had a beginning and never has an ending. That's Jesus. I am. And when he said that, the soldiers went backwards and fell to the ground. They didn't bring him. And the religious leader said, Why didn't you bring him? Never man spake like this man. Jesus' word is power. If you take it to heart, you'll get saved. You'll be judgment free. You'll rejoice. You'll be on your way home. That's the thought. All right. I am. But now, what we're reading in Mark 15, I haven't gone back yet. It's his hour. It's his hour. This is it. It was now the time. You know, don't turn to it. John chapter 12, I think it's verse 23 or 4 right in there. Jesus said, "This is my hour. This is my hour." That's the purpose he came. This is my hour. "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour." Why did he say, "Save me from this hour"? He was going to be made sin. He was going to be forsaken by God. He was going to be punished for sin. And he was going to take on himself, stroke after stroke, all of my sins, because I've received him. And he abhors sins, and he loves the Father. How could he ever desire to be made sin? But he said, "I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me." And God knew there could never be an eternal companion for his son unless sin was put away. God cannot have sin in his presence. And only the sinless, holy Son of God could do that. And he did it. And I'm going on to heaven. I'm one of the eternal companions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so happy it's so. And I can't wait till I get started up there to be with him forever. In the meantime, I'm rejoicing. And I don't want anybody else to go to hell. I've been saved. I've been plucked as a brand from the burning. And I didn't even want to be plucked. That's grace. He saved me. Grace. All right. Turn to Mark chapter 15 again. Let's go back. Mark 15. Verse 2. "And Pilate asked Jesus, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And he answering said unto him, 'Thou sayest it.' And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' said his judge." Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the Messiah for the Jews. He's the Christ, the anointed and appointed of God. He's the Savior. He's the eternal Son of God. This is Jesus. But he wouldn't answer his judge. He said, "Thou sayest it." You know, in Matthew 2, verse 2, those three wise men who made that long journey following the star, the Magi, they came to Herod, the king, and they said, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews?" Jesus is the only one ever born king or ever will be. A prince is born to be made king. They may never be. But when Jesus was born, he was King of the Jews. Pilate said, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Why did these wise men come all that way? One reason: to worship that babe. To worship him. Oh, how wonderful it is to know Jesus as Savior. When you worship Jesus, you exalt him, you please God the Father. And it's a wonderful thing. That's true joy. True joy. Matthew's gospel opens with a genealogy. And that genealogy says, Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, Jesus was king. David's son was king. Jesus is David's greater son. And Jesus was a sacrifice for sinners. And Abraham's son was a sacrifice. Oh, how beautiful the Word of God lays it out. how God wants you to know right away who His Son is. He's the King, Son of David, the greater David's Son. He's the sacrifice, Isaac in type. Antitype is Jesus. I'm going to read a verse, Proverbs 30. I want you to read it with me. Proverbs 30. This is very important. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4 of 30. All right. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What's his name? What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? The answer to that sinner will be salvation for you. If you can know that answer in your heart, you can be saved. It is Jesus. That's who it's speaking of. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Savior of sinners. How beautiful that is. Now, when his judge was asked, or when his judge asked Jesus, right here, Jesus could not deny himself. So he said, "Thou sayest it." But he refrained from defending himself against all the accusations of his accusers. He said nothing. Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. In Mark 15:3, we read it. The chief priests accused Jesus of many things, but he answered nothing. Pilate said, verse 3 to 5, I'm not turning back, answer thou nothing? But Jesus answered him nothing. He made absolutely no defense for himself. When he was judged by his creatures, what does his judge find? What did Pilate find? I find no fault at all in this man. That's his judge. I find, three times he said it, I find no fault at all in this man, because there was none. There was none. But you know what his judge did? He turned him over to be crucified. It happened. It happened. No fault. No guilt. He turned him over to be crucified. But sinner, I want to warn you, this scenario I'm giving you right now is going to be repeated. Only in reverse. It's going to be in reverse. That's right. And he who was judged guilty of death will be the judge the next time this is played out. And every sinner who will not believe and receive the love of the truth that they be saved will face that judge. That's right. They will face him as judge, Jesus. The books will be opened, and that marvelous computer in your cranium will begin to activate. It's all there. It just has to be programmed. And everything you ever said, every idle word, every idle thought, every wicked thing you did, all of that will be in those books. and they'll all come back to you in fullness. And you will be speechless. No defense. Jesus voluntarily made no defense. But you will have no defense. It's all true. This scenario is going to be repeated. I want to take you to Revelation chapter 6. Just for two verses. Revelation chapter 6. And sinner, I'm going to warn you, if you don't get saved, if you die in your sins, this is going to be how you feel. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, the judge, from the wrath of the Lamb. What an expression. The wrath of the Lamb. Because the one who was the Lamb of God for sinners, the sacrifice that God provided to be a substitute in judgment for sinners, that same one will be their judge. They'll see him, but they'll think of him as the wrath of God. How solemn! The wrath of God. Oh my. Sinner, this awful scene that I've just given you, and it's true, is from God's Word, doesn't have to be true as to you. That's why it's so wonderful we can preach the gospel. It is this fact: the Lord is not willing that any perish. God would have all to be saved. And you're hearing the Word of God right now. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Simply accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Sinner, you need Him. You need Him. You're already in the clutches of Satan. He just doesn't want to give you up. You don't have to do one thing to go to hell. You're going. Get saved. That's all. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why the gospel's preached. I can't believe you don't take him. But I fear some will not take him. They will not take him because Satan's a deceiver. Satan can make you think you're all right. Turn to Mark 15 again. Let's get back to our portion. Mark 15. And verse 6. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire Pilate to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? He knew the religious leaders, the chief priests, had delivered Jesus for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out, crucify him. And then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. You know, that's hard to take in, isn't it? His judge, who found no fault, who found him guiltless, would turn him over to be crucified. That's the heart of man. It's an enmity against God. That's it. John's Gospel. Let's go to John's Gospel. Chapter 10. John chapter 10. Just a couple of verses will help here. John chapter 10. Got to find which I want. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Jesus speaking. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That is eternal security. I have it. I have it. I have no fear. I have no fear. I walk through this world judgment free. I have joy. No fear. Because I read these verses and they're true. This is truth. I and the Father are one, and that's true. But that's the thing that irritates the carnal mind and the heart of man. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you, and my Father, from my Father, for which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Did you hear that? They're going to crucify him because he said, I am the Son of God. I and the Father are one, the eternal Son. They're going to crucify him for that. They shouted, give us Barabbas. Barabbas, the criminal, the one for whom the center cross was made, the worst criminal that year. That's where the center cross, that's what it's for. It was for Barabbas. He was a murderer. He led the insurrection. He committed murder in the insurrection. He was a robber by practice and trade. And you know what the people said? Give us Barabbas, not Jesus. What does Barabbas mean? The son of the Father. That's what it means. The son of the Father is Satan's counterfeit. Satan always brings a counterfeit. He is the master counterfeiter in this world. And he takes upon himself now the form of an angel of light so he can work through religion and really counterfeit everything. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He's a deceiver. Now this was the great election. We just had an election, but this was the only election that counts. It's over. The great election took place this right here at this time. They chose Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And this world has been governed by a robber ever since. A robber of souls. And Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the one who controls this world, has your soul in his power, and he'd love to take it into hell. He doesn't want to lose you. And every time this precious gospel is preached, the Spirit of God gets active to take the word and to bring you to Christ by it. But Satan's active too, to keep you. And he'll put thoughts in your mind. He's a counterfeiter. He'll counterfeit this word. He'll counterfeit thoughts. That's Satan. The son of the Father, Barabbas, he says, he's a good one. Take him. They took him. They've been ruled by robber ever since in this world. Crucify him. Who? Crucify him. Who? The holy, the sinless, the blameless Son of God. That's who. His earthly judge said, I find no fault in this man at all. John 18, verse 38 or someplace. Then he said it again in John 19. I find in him no fault at all. And then he said it again in John 19. Let's see how he said it. Take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Did you get that from his judge? Take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. That's why I say, It was a mock trial. It was mockery. It would never happen under Roman rule. Roman law was jealous law. Almost as bad as today for the criminals. No man can be put to death on his own testimony alone. And why did they crucify Jesus? He said he is God. That's why. His own confession, not corroborated. A mockery. Jesus had to be found guilty by Roman law, for the Jews had no power of death penalty. Turn to Mark 15 again. Mark 15 again. This time we'll look at verse 16. Verse 16. And the soldiers led Jesus away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band of soldiers. And they clothed Jesus with purple. And they planted a crown of thorns. And they put that crown of thorns about his head. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Go with me. Genesis chapter 3. The seed plot of the whole Word of God, you're going to get it here. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. As by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon every one of you because you've all sinned. That's it. And what was the result of that? I'll read the end of verse 17. Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field in the sweat of thy face. There was no thorns in paradise. There was no thorns or thistles in the Garden of Eden. There wasn't even a weed. Sin caused it. Sin caused the thorns. Sin caused this world to be cursed. It was sin. You know, the whole band of soldiers took joy in taking thorns. I mean, big thorns. And making a crown, and in mockery, they put it on my Savior's head. And they smote him on the head, so those thorns went in. What is it? The heart of man. The heart of man. Every sinner has that heart. Every sinner has that heart. I'm going to read Galatians 3:15, I think, you know, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground, this world. Galatians 3:15. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth from a tree. I'm going to give you a little verse from a hymn I love. Because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. O cross of Christ, O glorious tree, what place could be compared with thee? Where God's own Son was crucified, and for our sins a ransom died. Can you say that? Are you in that hour? Oh, you are. For our sins a ransom died. He died for my sins. They're gone. God satisfied. Can you say it? That's the point. Oh, if you can say, for my sins. They crucified him. John 19, they crucified him. And two thieves, one on either side. Two thieves, one on either side. Jesus in the midst on the cross made for Barabbas. Solemn story, isn't it? Solemn story. It's true. Isaiah 53, no. Yeah, 12. We read it. He was numbered for our transgressions. He bore the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Are you in that verse? You could be in that verse. I'm in it. Who his own self bare my sins in his own body on the tree. I'm free. I'm free. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm on the way to glory. I'm part of the bride of Christ. It's that easy. Jesus did it. Oh, I think it's so beautiful. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. This verse is just coming and it's very important. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8. All right. Verse 7. I'll read 7 first. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In Hebrews 12, it tells us this was the contradiction of sinners against himself. What is the contradiction of sinners against himself? They crucified the Lord of glory. What does that mean? They gave the worst possible death to the most wonderful person that ever walked this world. That's the contradiction of sinners against himself. They crucified the Lord of glory. The superscription of his accusation written over him. This is the King of the Jews. That's what we have in Mark. But you know, it's different in Matthew, it's different in Luke, and it's different in John. In Matthew it says, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In John it says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Put them together, and you've got really what was written over Jesus. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pilate wrote it and put it there because God wanted it there. And the religious leaders came to Pilate and they said, say not that he is the King of the Jews, but rather say, he said, I am the King of the Jews. What did Pilate say? What I have written, I have written. Because God wasn't going to have that changed. That's a testimony against the whole world. You know, that superscription of his accusation was written in three languages. It was written in Hebrew. That makes the Jew guilty. It was their Messiah. It was written in Roman. That makes the whole political world guilty. It was written in Greek. That makes every nation, all Gentiles, guilty. You know, God makes you guilty by that accusation. This is Jesus, the Savior, the King of the Jews. You're responsible. It's only 10 words. 10 words is a scriptural number of individual responsibility to God. He makes you responsible, every one of you. That's why you'll have no defense. You'll have nothing to say. You'll be speechless. Behold your King. Behold your King. The people cried, we have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man to reign over us. And all the political and religious leaders said that. You know, are they any different today? Are the religious leaders and the political leaders any different today? Only in one way. They're worse. That's the only way they're different today. They're worse than these people. The world evangelist says evolution is all right. No, I'm sorry. He said there's life in other planets. And the head of the greatest religious organization in Christendom says evolution's all right. But God says, what I have written, I have written. He says, no. What I have written, I've written. He ain't going to chase the truth. Doesn't change by man's whims. You can do nothing against the truth, only for it. And so if you refuse to be saved tonight, God is true. You become a liar. That's it. God is true. He says, take my son and have eternal life. And if you won't take it, you make yourself a lie for all eternity. Oh, how awful that thought. Turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. Watch my time here. Luke 23. Just a short portion here, verse 52. No, Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Jesus, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him and said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? But we are indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm going to give you a verse. And this thief really had that verse in his heart before it was written. John 10:9. I got to start it right. John 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, he did it, and believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, he believed it, thou shalt be saved. That's pretty easy, isn't it? That's pretty easy. You got to repent. There's no salvation without repentance. What is repentance? You got to admit you're a sinner and lost. That's all it is. God says it, believe it, be on your way. That's it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, this thief said, Lord, and that one he said it to was about to expire, just like him, except for one thing. They couldn't take his life. They couldn't take his life. Now, it's that easy. You know, there was a publican, we heard about it, I think today or yesterday, who was a tax collector despised of the Jews. But he went into the temple of God, and he was ashamed of his sins. And that's a good thing, to be ashamed of your sins. It's a good thing to get to the end of yourself. And he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He was so ashamed, he looked down at the earth. He beat upon his breast and he only said seven words. Seven words, sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said, justified. Seven words. Are you going to go out here lost after all this? You know, Peter, when he realized the one standing before him, Jesus, was God, the eternal Son, he fell on his knees and he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. That's repentance. Jesus didn't depart. He took him in his arms and he made him an apostle. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's just repentance. That's all it takes. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It saves. This whole room can be saved. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came and this whole room was saved? And wouldn't it be awful if he came and one was still in the seat? You'd call for the rocks to fall on you and hide you from the wrath of the Lamb, because you know what will happen. How awful that is. You know, there was a prodigal and he went his own way, but God sent a famine and he came to the end of himself. You know, God may send a famine in your life. I don't know what it'll be, but if he does, it's to bring you to the end of yourself. And when he came to the end of himself, you know what he said? I perish. That's a good way to get. I perish. You're going to perish in hell if you don't get saved. I perish. He said, I'll go back to my Father and I'll say to my Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy. Does a father whip him for sinning? No, that isn't my Lord. He kissed him. He covered him with kisses. And he said, put the best robe on him, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger, kill the fatted calf. Let's eat and be merry. This my son was lost, he's saved. He just said, I've sinned. I'm not worthy. That's all he said. Can't you say it? God says that's true. Can't you believe it? That's the story. Turn to Lamentations. Lamentations. It's Lamentations of Jeremiah. It's after Jeremiah. And chapter 1. What time is it? I'm going by this clock. Lamentations, chapter 1. Verse 12. Is it nothing to you? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow, like my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce wrath. These words are Jesus. Prophetically, it's Jesus. Is it nothing to you that he took your place on the cross if you'll have him? And if you won't, he'll be your judge. Is it nothing to you? He says, is it nothing to you? You know, in Ecclesiastes 9, that man, that poor man, by his wisdom, delivered this world. And it says, no man remembered that same poor man. No man remembered that same poor man. How sad that is. How bad was this rod of his wrath, his fierce anger? How bad was it? Turn to turn to Lamentations 3, verse 1. I'll read it quick. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. I'll tell you how bad it was. Isaiah 52:14. His visage was marred more than any man, and his form than the sons of men. How do you describe it any better? His visage, when God gave him stroke after stroke of judgment, because he was made sin for me, his visage was marred more than any man ever was, and his form than the sons of men. That's how bad it is. And that's what you're going to get if you don't get saved. That's what's going to happen to you. You know, there's a little hymn. I'll read it here. I got it here. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted. See him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ. By God, by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he. Tis he. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. Tis the Word. Tis God's anointed. Son of man and Son of God. And he did it for you, sinner. He did it for you. You know, what's God's testimony at the very beginning when Jesus was born? Well, not when Jesus was born. When he was baptized. John the Baptist. This is the Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God's providing. That's his testimony. What was God's testimony at the cross, at the end of his life? The centurion and those that watched Jesus die. Behold, truly, this was the Son of God. What's God's testimony himself when Jesus came up out of the water? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is the testimony God has for Jesus. This is the testimony you got to take in. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, whom say ye that I am? I'll give you Peter's answer. Whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll see Peter in glory. I'll see Peter in glory. Isn't that wonderful? Because he knew that. What is his name, if thou canst tell? What is his son's name? The answer to that, like Peter, will take you right into heaven. John 20:31. That's my clock. I want to tell you why this whole book is written with one verse. John 20:31. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Neither is there any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You must be saved. Absolutely essential, sinner, or you're going to hell. That's it. Well, I'll tell you something. a little song here that touched my heart. The message has gone out again. Proclaim to children of men. Repent and depart from your sin. You must be born again. Oh, your time is running out. Run, sinner, run to the arms of the Savior. He's calling you. Come, oh, rest not nor sleep till the matter is done. Flee while you can from the wrath that's to come. The author of this is here. Yeah, he's here. Someday, when your story is told, as your body lays silent and cold, what then of the riches you hold, and what would you give for your soul? Oh, your time's running out. Run, sinner, run to the arms of the Savior. He's calling you. Come. Don't rest and don't sleep till the matter is done. Oh, flee while you can from the wrath that's to come. Don't turn the Savior away. He's calling on you today. Oh, cry out to Him and pray, or weep in that great judgment day. Oh, your time's running out. Run, sinner, run to the arms of the Savior. He's calling you. Come, don't rest and don't sleep till the matter is done. Flee while you can from the wrath that's to come. I asked this brother to sing it with me, but he refused. He said, if I make a mistake, they'll all know it. But if you make a mistake, they won't know it, because I'm just one big mistake anyway. But I'm saved. I'm saved. God loves mistakes. He loves sinners. Take Him. Take Him. Let's sing. Let's sing together. Where is this thing? Okay. Number something here. 36. I only sing the first and the last with the chorus. Sing it as I do. Oh, do not let the word depart and close thy...